This is Ryan Brown interviewing Dave Sigler at 401 Indian Oaks Drive in Anniston, Alabama on April 3rd, 1995. The subject of this interview is the Vietnam War. So what year again did you leave Vietnam and return home?
I returned in August 1966. I came back and got discharged in Oakland, California. It just so happened the end of my tour in the Army coincided with the end of my tour in Vietnam, so I got out of the Army when I returned to the States.
How did it feel to return home after?
Well, it was different. I got out in Oakland, and the major airline, major carrier at the time, seems like it was American Airlines, might have been National, one of them, was on strike. It was impossible to fly from the West Coast to the East Coast. So I sat there for about 5 days out of the Army and couldn't return home. And because everybody was getting out, you know, thousands of people returning the same time. So I remember waiting about a week and finally, on standby, finally got a flight back.
When you returned home, what did you get a job then?
Yes, I went to graduate school at the University of Maryland. And that was an experience spending a couple of years. I was teaching as a grad assistant as well as working on my degree. And then, of course, I became more aware of the protests against Vietnam. I had a slideshow of probably 100 or so slides I'd put together. And I showed these slides to some of my classes because the students were real curious. Naturally, they were drafting students right and left. In those days, if you didn't make progress toward graduation or C's, you were going to get drafted. Or right after graduation get drafted. So students were very, real curious, and I was glad to go through a little briefing on Vietnam with my slides and so forth. And then a year or so later, then we started having the violent protests on campus and that sort of thing. Then I started getting irritated and upset about America's attitude toward the Vietnam War. I never really understood why the country didn't support it. Looking back, I can probably see that some of the problems with it, but as a member of the armed forces, you're asked to do something, you go do it the best you can. You don't question, you don't ask why, is this legal, is this ethical, whatever. You ask if it's ethical, of course, but not, you assume if you're asked to fight a battle or whatever, or serve your country, you do it.
So do you think the protests went back to the nuclear certificate thing?
Yeah, I think they were valid, you know, in saying that, you know, what's the end? You know, where's the end in sight? You know, I really felt that when we went over there, we could end the war in 1 year. We didn't. Then after 2 years, 3 years, you know, I'm sure the troops thought at the first year or two that it would end quickly, and it didn't. And then we saw no end at all. And the students and protesters, of course, saw that. And that's one of the things they were protesting, and I'm sure that was legitimate.
Do you know... I don't know if you've talked to any troops that remain, but do you know if the war protests caused any, you know, if they got wind of it and caused any?
Oh, yeah, sure. That, you know, after we got back, and we noticed the treatment. We had no one, you know, no bands of medicine when we came back. Nobody even asked questions about where we were, what we were doing, or anything. Nobody was very concerned about the war. And then once the protests started, that certainly affected the people that were serving over there. They just felt like the Americans didn't know what we were doing over there, didn't have any respect for the men that were giving their lives for their country over there. And it just became a real, real bad deal.
Do you think that today the veterans from the Vietnam War receive more maybe gratitude than they did back then?
Yeah, well, they certainly do now. Even during Desert Storm and the troops returning home, the Vietnam veterans were glad for those troops that they would get recognition, and at the same time, the country showed more recognition to the Vietnam veterans. But you know, we don't want I guess we don't want it now. It's too late now. You know, the veterans needed something then when they came home, and then for some reason didn't get it.
Did you continue to keep up with the progress of the war, and especially from where you were after you returned home?
I didn't keep up that much with it, really, after I got back, but other than, you know, just reading the headlines in the paper from time to time, and I can't say that I followed it completely, no.
Do you think the change in the presidential administrations from Johnson and Nixon hurt the war effort?
Yeah, I think, you know, when you elect a president and his platform is, you know, I'm going to end the war, we're going to get us out of here and whatever, and basically at any cost, and I think that's what happened. I'm a Republican, but I gave Johnson a lot of credit for sending troops because he felt in his heart that's what he really needed to do. And I never held that against Johnson of sending. In fact, he announced sending our division to Vietnam. It's the first I knew of it when I'm watching on television in 65. And about a month before he left, and Johnson says he's sending the first cab to Vietnam. It's the first we knew about it. But, yeah, by Nixon, by just saying, hey, we're going to get out of this thing, it was the wrong way to get out of the war.
Do you think that's why he got elected, because of that popularity?
Probably one of the big reasons. You know, Nixon was a crafty politician. For sure. So, yeah.
Many of the movies and the documentaries, just basically the movies now that they've done on the Vietnam War, they're very accurate.
No, most of them are really bad. You know, it's not just because they're shot in Southern California or whatever. Even the ones that are shot in the Philippines somewhere where the terrain is similar, they're just not. It just didn't happen that way when I was there. And that's true probably with most war movies. But I have a hard time watching any of the movies. I don't think I've watched a complete movie yet, probably, that was about Vietnam. But there've been, like I said before, there've been several good books written, and the one that I said was I thought the best was this recent one by retired General Hal Moore, and it's an accurate account, you know, a historical account of what happened, and you know, very interesting book. But yeah, the movies are pretty sad.
What about them? Is it just the violence or whatever?
The violence. First of all, we went for days and days and days, forever, and nothing happened. And all of a sudden, it happened real quick. And there wasn't, you didn't have the tension, you know, I mean, or people being scared and that sort of thing. It happened so fast, you didn't have time to be scared. It wasn't like the anticipation, say, in Korea, when you knew the next morning you had to go up and take a hill and there were 10,000 Chinese on top of the hill. It wasn't like that in Vietnam. We didn't know where the troops were, where the enemy was, and you didn't have the great anticipation. I think in most of the movies, they build it up as there's all this, all the violence and all that other stuff, the way we shot up civilians and things. That sort of thing didn't happen. It happened, I won't say it didn't happen at all, but it certainly wasn't the norm.
Does that irritate you, the way they...
It irritated me a lot. It irritated me the way the press carried it. The movies are just like the press accounts of back in the 60s. The press, too, said that we were massacring civilians and treating the enemy poor of us. It's just, you know, it started with the bad press I think we got during the war, and it's continued in the movies.
Did that really just add fuel to the fire of the protest, do you think?
Yeah, I'm sure it did. Yeah, I remember sitting in a college classroom as a grad student in a learning theory class, and the professor would start out each lecture with a long spiel on Vietnam, how terrible it was we're in Vietnam, and all this and that. And I remember standing up, finally couldn't take any more, and stood up and told him, told him what I thought of his views, walked out of the class, slammed the door, walked out of the class, and dropped the course. And I had known the guy, and he came and apologized to my dean and wanted to know why I dropped out and why I wouldn't come back in his class and that sort of thing. But yeah, I got really tired of hearing it, the protest stuff.
Many documentaries have been done about the Vietnam War stuff, and even the battles you were involved in, and you've been asked to do many speeches about that, haven't you? Some speeches.
Yeah, I've been asked to do a couple things for the MP school. I've done a couple little briefings on the Battle of I Drang, because that's one of the I Drang Valley operation will be one of the major battles in our history, not just a major battle in Vietnam, but it's one of the battles that military people will study from now on.
Why do you think that is? Just because it's...
Well, you know, a major battle where a unit won a presidential citation and really a turning point in the war for both sides. Turning point for the Vietnamese, North Vietnamese decide, hey, this isn't going to work. We can't mass troops and fight these guys. We go back to small unit activity. And the Americans were finally successful in finding an enemy and fighting him and defeating him.
How high an honor is the presidential citation?
Well, it's one of those honors given to units, and of course that's not an individual thing, but it's a high honor, and I can say as I recall, it wasn't given in Korea. It was only given in the last one probably many given in World War II, but the last time one was given was World War II, and then that one in Korea and Vietnam to us. And I don't believe there's been one since. There might have been one for Grenada, but I don't recall.
What kind of feeling did that give you to know that you're in a unit that received a presidential citation?
Well, it's a good feeling, but that didn't happen until about 10, 15 years after the battle. But since I was out of the Army, I happened to read it somewhere 10 or 15 years later. It is an honor. Yeah.
Your particular cavalry or your unit, did you take many prisoners of war?
Well, it's hard to take prisoners of war.
Right.
It really is. Executing prisoners is not the right term, but the guy stands up in front of you with his hands up in the air and waist high elephant grass and with a different colored uniform, and chances are you shoot him before you recognize he's trying to give up, and that happened a lot. We didn't take too many prisoners. Usually, the way we take a prisoner is if a guy clearly had his hands up and came walking into our base camp or something, then yeah, we took him prisoner. But in combat, it's very hard to surrender.
Were many Americans taken? Not just that you knew, but that you knew of.
Well, most Americans were executed that were captured. We saw in the Idrang Valley. That's one of the things that I will never forget is seeing dozens of Americans with their hands tied behind their back, dead Americans that they executed at night. Most of them were wounded. Some gave up or tried to give up, or taken prisoner and their hands tied behind their back and then executed.
If nothing else, did that basically give you a purpose to continue fighting?
Oh yeah, when you treat people like that, yeah, that was a great motivator. Unfortunately, that was one of the reasons we didn't take too many prisoners after seeing that. The guys were pretty quick to shoot before they took a prisoner.